You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
This is Commander's HQ. My name is Nate. With me is Alec, or Nick.
Hey.
And the Jeske lover boy himself, Alex.
Yo, yo.
And Mike.
How's it going?
How's it going, guys?
It goes.
Just before we get things going, I'm gonna start off with news right away before we go into everybody's week has been. Hori is taking a break for a while. He's going on a hiatus, and hopefully we'll see him back in the near future. So that's what's happening. There was a delay on episode 20 yesterday, but it went out. So Nick was busy all weekend, so that's what happened.
I was gone at a anniversary dinner, then I watched the Vikings whoop the Falcons, so that was good.
Yeah.
At the stadium.
Yeah, I was really surprised about that game, I'll tell you.
Oh, it was a damn good game to go to in person. I tell you, it was beautiful
weather.
When it
comes to football, no offense to Patriot fans, but as long as you don't make it to the Super Bowl, I'm good.
You're not a Pats fan?
Are you
a Jets fan or Giants?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
They're just like the Vikings, only AFC.
Are you kidding me? Are there any Jets fans left in New York?
I don't know. You're a Giants fan then. Okay.
Yeah, I've been a Giants fan since I was a kid.
Okay.
I was a fan of both teams at one point, and then, you know, every year it just gets progressively. It's like being a Mets fan.
Yeah, that too.
But this is a Magic podcast.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. That's what I did this weekend. So that's why.
Alex, how was your weekend?
Pretty good. I played in a draft. Found out Azban is completely broken. I mean, you start womping them, and all of a sudden they get lifelink, and it's over with. Then I started building my Narset deck, of course. And I'm almost
Narcissist deck?
Yes.
Narcissist, yeah.
It really does sound like, it doesn't just sound like it puts a narcissist in your head?
It does. Anyway.
Now, I'm almost done with that, too. So that's good. Been pretty much my weekend.
Cool. What have you been up to, Mike?
Ruining the spirit of EDH. One Sunday at a time.
One Sunday, yeah. What have I been up to?
You just skipped Nick. That's real good.
It's okay.
Nick already said what he did.
No, I already said what I did, so that's alright.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yes. I went to the game. Duh. Don't you remember 5 seconds ago?
Point. Were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought?
Yeah, I built my Zergo deck, and this is the first EDH deck I've built that went from designing to testing to finalized, and all I need is a few fine-tuned cards.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Two weeks now on League, played Zergo and didn't really win, so I didn't win any of the games, so I could play it the following week.
Is Zergo lands deck?
No, Zergo is the new Borzov General.
Yeah, I made a zombie deck out of him. And then, so the first week I played Zergo, I killed a few people but didn't win the game. So technically under our league guidelines, I can play it the next week.
Yeah.
Played it the next week and completely crushed two out of my three opponents.
Do you guys do a point system?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, do you get points for beating people, for killing people in games?
Yes.
Or just winning the game entirely?
Yes. Both.
You get 2 points for eliminating a player. You get 4 points for winning the game.
Okay. That's cool. I wasn't here during that episode, so.
Yeah.
No point. No, that's fine. That's fine. Oh, newsflash, too. I went on eBay and I bought a random collection from a storage unit, $3,500 Magic cards for $70 or something like that. So we'll see what happens when I get it.
That's cool.
You've told me, Nick, to never do that.
Oh, well, I wanted to do it one time. Just one time.
Just to see.
And they said mostly commons.
Hopefully it's not all planes.
Yeah, right.
But so basically what happened was I played Zergo and crushed 2 out of 3 of my opponents and I got to do something that I never thought I would be able to do in EDH. I got to kill somebody with the Gem Palm Polluter.
Yeah.
Oh, I was in that game. Yeah, nice. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. But so that deck's pretty much, there's a few cards out now I want to test with it to fine-tune it, but that one's pretty done. I redid my Rug deck and took Animar out and made Maelstrom Wanderer because it's just stronger. My mono black deck inspired by our Gordani has taken on a new shape and form with the Khans of Tarkir coming out with the that Brood Altar. Whenever you play a permanent, each opponent has to mill a card.
Yeah, which unfortunately in this set, it's not worth a damn, like, value-wise.
It's not worth this. Yeah, it's not worth that much, but in an Endric, in my style of Endric deck, which I'm making tokens like nothing.
Yeah, no, that it makes total sense. And we'll get...
Every creature I cast gives me a Thrall token,
yeah.
Which is basically I net milling 6 cards off everybody, like every creature spell I cast.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm just saying that we'll get into what we opened and
yeah.
Everything, and I'll talk about
well,
that.
Well, that deck is, my mono black deck is, that's there. My Jalira deck I'm working on now, trying to make that better, and I actually found myself at a place where I'm looking at building Sidisi now, because I want another, I want all the graveyard decks.
Yeah.
Let's make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
The lands deck is pretty much just a fun deck. I don't think I'm going to do much more with it besides when I want to play it and not care.
You don't really need to. It's the same as your Polymorph one. I have a couple fun decks, too, like Merfolk Tribal and Snakes
yeah.
Tribal. There's not much else I can do, and I'm just going to play it and have fun. The other ones are, you know, the staples that I have.
So. But I've pretty much come to the conclusion that my strong decks are my Maelstrom Wanderer, my Zergo, and my Endric, and of course my graveyard deck. My graveyard deck is just a fine oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's all I've really been up to besides playing Minecraft and stuff, because I am getting ready for. I am building for our LAN.
Yeah, we gotta do that sometime.
Yeah, so that's about it.
Then, this week I'm gonna start making my cube again, turning into a 12 person instead of 8. And the last day of League, because this is the last week, I'm going
yes.
to be making the 12-person cube ready for our last game for our points. So
yes.
That's the one thing I got to do, and that's going to be phenomenal. So
see here, Nick, on eBay, I see 3 Flooded Strand for $37.07.
Yeah, there you
now,
go.
Now, how can I trust this person to send me 3 Flooded Strands, let alone in good condition?
Well, I'll get into that. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Because I'd like to do it. There's only 3 hours left.
I'll talk about it. Don't worry about
unless
it.
Unless you want to find
points. But that's pretty much all we got going on and stuff. That's my other announcement I want to make quick. Our league that me, Nick, and Alex and our group of friends have been doing at my house officially goes public in just a little more than a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lots of people interested, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes.
What do you mean public?
It's going to be at a shop instead of just Nate's house.
We're taking the league that we built here and giving it a public venue.
The last time there was a public league was at a different shop, and then that kind of fell through, and then we did our own thing, and then now it's been a year. And now we're going to bring it to FanZone, and this system has been fine-tuned.
We've everything,
and even if it goes to FanZone and it works and it's great, but even if other stores copy what we do, that's fine because that means it works as well, you know.
And
we hope that it spreads not just from FanZone, but just as like a standard of tournament play, because there really isn't any tournament plays.
It's just hanging out, playing.
Yeah, just hanging out and playing. But now,
for anyone that might ask, we are not going to name the other store for reasons that we do not want to slander anybody.
Yeah,
I just want to say that.
No, I didn't. As you
know. No. I'm just saying because if somebody emails like, "What store was it?" We're not going to say.
But yeah, we're not going to say. But no, it's just what we've designed has gone through a metamorphosis of talking about it to. Putting the first set of achievements up to changing it again.
Yep, this has gone through two seasons on a pilot run.
Yes.
And
it was in beta for more than 18 months.
Yeah.
I seem to know a program that was doing that, you know, not long ago. Or is it still doing it? I have no idea.
What program? You're talking about Magic Online? Very funny.
But no, we've pretty much put our system through a beta system, and it works quite well. There's a good chance that we'll talk about it again. We'll bring it up after we've gone through a season at the store about how that league works. It's a lot of fun, and we can guarantee that this league system we came up with does not encourage any sort of competitive play at all. It really doesn't, and you're going to have your one or two people that always want to be competitive, but they can, and it really doesn't matter because they're not really achieving anything.
The system we've built is based on the spirit of EDH, as in coming together, having fun, playing casual decks, and then getting some prizes at the end, which is good. This system prevents solitaring out, infinite turns, and land destruction that makes the game not fun.
Yeah.
So,
you could, not to interrupt, but you could have, like, competitive cutthroat decks and just not be a jerk.
That's what this is.
This is what this promotes.
Yeah. But it's not, we're not saying that you can't have good decks. That's not at all what we're saying. Cutting out the jerk element. So.
I have my zombie deck, and I'm just a time walk combo deck, but winning is really secondary for me. I just care about having a good conversation with people.
That's what we do too.
Unless I'm with my regular group of friends, now then I want to troll the
Put it this way, in a nutshell, what our league does is, it takes out all the really, really douchey ways that Magic is played competitively, and it punishes the player for doing that to encourage the more casual play. And everyone pays X amount of dollars and walks away with, on the average, everyone will walk away guaranteed.
With more than what they paid.
More than what they paid for, about $2 to $3 worth of good EDH cards.
Now, I'm going to ask the people who's listening not to take anything offensive to what we're saying. Because I know it sounds like we're saying, is it Spike? Is that the competitive one?
Spike, yeah.
Yeah, all Spikes are like jerks. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is there are people who we understand want to take the game at a pro tour type level and really cutthroat and have to play perfect and, you know, want to win. We just don't encourage that in a format where it's supposed to be about fun.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Where there's supposed to be variance, where there's supposed to be hard to do combos or do, you know, what you want to do. It's the spirit of, we're trying to emanate the spirit of what the creators wanted, which was just having a casual format using old cards from everything.
Were the creators judges of PTQs trying to do something in the meantime?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure that's how it started.
But we'll go into that.
I could be wrong.
Okay. So we'll go through that system.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. But on to good reads. We have an article again by Jason Ault. I'm really starting to like this guy's articles, and I am tempted to actually get a hold of him. He has a regular weekly article called 75%, and he really cuts in on the nitty-gritty of EDH and really goes in-depth about everything. This deck happens to talk about glass cannons. For those that might not be familiar with what a glass cannon is, it's a type of deck where it's kind of a solitaire deck, but it's not, they don't have to be, but if you take one aspect of the deck away, the whole deck is ruined.
For example, like a Lich deck. That's a glass cannon because you're pretty much relying on Lich to win, and if you don't, let's say somebody does a card, I don't know, there's many cards that exile cards out of your library and take away the combo. Or if you're like a pure tutor combo deck that searches for that one win con, that's a glass cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you could call Mindzire glass cannon. Like the old school Mindzires without the wishes, where you played one Tendrils, and if you cranial extraction it, then you're just dead.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of an example of a glass cannon.
Yeah, and that's what he's highlighting. It's a really, really good article. In this article, one of the decks he talks about is Inane Death Aspect. And I actually have personal qualms with this deck. Our friend Shane used to play, I think he still has the deck together. He plays this as an EDH general. And the deck is completely convoluted and stupid, and he wins quite easily with it.
So yeah, but all it takes is rest in peace, and the deck is destroyed.
Or another thing to get rid of combo decks is Jester's hat.
I was just about to talk about Jester's cap, actually.
Jester's cap, yeah. That was okay. Go back in time when I was a little kid. And Ice Age, and I remember that was a $25 card, and I thought it was the coolest. Yeah, back in the day it was.
Yeah,
it was expensive. And now it's a junk rare. But now, I remember just his cap, and I was just in love with him. Like, oh my god, I can remove anything from my opponent's deck that is the coolest thing ever.
It was a pretty good card back in the day.
Back in the day, it was very powerful.
Yeah.
Before we move to Nate's, one of my most common cards I put in my blue deck was Extract. Because I knew the people that were playing combo decks like Prosh Food Chain. First turn, blue. Okay. I take out your food chain.
You know, it's funny. Like, when I first got back into EDH, my deck wasn't as good as it is now. So I usually just won the game based on two things. Either I won based on Blue Sun Zenithing everybody out after going High Tide and Palancron and all this crazy crap, or I would control the game and win off of Kozilek or Ulamog, which is a pretty thin way of trying to win the game. And you know, I asked my friend one day, like, do you think the deck is good? And he said, well, if I play Jester's Cap, can you win? I'm like, what do you mean? If I play Jester's Cap, do you have more than three win conditions in your deck? I'm like, well, no, they're not very good. Well, there's your... That's what inspired me. Jester's Cap is what inspired me to play the game very differently. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to, when you're playing EDH, one of the big things is you have to expect to not be able to only have one way to win the game. Even if it's your main way of winning the game, like Blue Sun Zenith is still my main way of doing it, it should not be the only. Usually my rule is you have about 4 to 5 win conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you need them.
Yeah, and like just Glass Cannon decks, it's not like they're bad decks to play in EDH.
Absolutely not. Some of them are the best.
You can have a lot of fun with them, but just know that depending on your general, people know what you're doing, so they're going to do everything they can to stop you. A classic example of generals that are classically Glass Cannons are the Artifact Sphinx, Shroom.
Yep, that can be
a common glass cannon.
Kozilek can be, because Kozilek, I mean, your opponent just goes Vandal Blast, you usually lose the game.
Yeah. Inname Aspect is a common, the deck he's talking about here. Inname is a common glass cannon. Niv-Mizzet is a huge glass cannon.
Yeah.
Even a zombie combo, like my deck, can be a huge glass cannon. Mm-hmm. It really can be.
Yeah.
See, that's why I make, my Naya deck, Marath is meant to be a glass cannon.
What the hell is a Marath?
Oh, that card's
Marath is the Naya.
Naya. It was out of one of the new commander sets.
Oh, is that the 3-mana guy that when you play him he gets counters? Oh, I love that guy.
He's amazing. Very abusable.
Yes. You want him a glass cannon. You want him to die so many times.
Yeah. I mean, you can even have sack outlets if you really wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, not just because it's a glass cannon, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. It could actually be a positive thing as well.
You just got to know going into that game, if you're playing a glass cannon deck, that you're going to have to deal with you're going to have to protect your stuff.
Yep.
It's going to get hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would say most combo-based decks in EDH are really glass cannon type decks. You know, that's why in EDH it's always better to walk in either with an aggro deck, like Gaddock Teague or Thalia, whatever the hell you want to call it, or you run in with a control deck or a grindy deck like Endrick, you run in with a control deck like Edric. Those aren't really glass cannons because they have multiple ways of winning. It's combo they decks like that are really glass cannon. But yeah, they do. They do like to eat glass cannon.
Endrick likes to eat glass cannon.
Yeah, and Endrick likes to go turn one flying man and then never has to play another creature past Endrick. screw you, you little tutu bastard.
Endrick just goes, hey, that's a really cute combo. Watch this.
I hate Endrick. I hate Endrick so much.
It's one of my favorite decks now.
I bet it is.
Because you get to sit back and watch everybody do stuff, and then right at that peak moment when they're getting excited, they're about to do something, you go, oh no, wait.
I guess, you know, like, Momir isn't exactly a glass cannon. Like, it's a combo deck, but it's a blue-green control deck at heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What's another good example?
There's a lot of them.
Oh,
there's lots
like,
of them.
You know what was the ultimate deck? Like, Raffellos was the ultimate deck. Because it was a combo deck, but it wasn't a glass cannon at all. It was just a stupid combo deck that won the game really early. And Braids can be considered a glass cannon, because without Braids, deck isn't very good.
Yeah.
The problem is, the deck is very good at getting Braids on the board.
And that's why they got banned from Magic EDH completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're just, they completely break the game. But yeah, it's a really good article. I suggest people check it out. It just really puts it out there, like, yeah, they're good decks, but you have to be ready to defend that deck because you're gonna get hit a lot. So.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's like the only good reason we had. And now I'm gonna switch over to Nick on our main topic.
Okay, so. We were going to talk about what we got from this new cons release. I opened up three boxes and then a Russian box of cons. And I split a case with Garrett, one of our friends we play with. Between me and Garrett, we got both pretty much the whole set with this case. It's pretty hard not to get a whole set if you'd have a case.
Well, the cards that matter anyway.
Well, I mean, but we did get every card of the set between me and him. Now, I had a God box, okay? First box I opened. Second pack, I had a foil Flooded Strand. Crazy. And then later on, I had a foil Sorn. But I got all the fetches. I got four non-foil, and then Flooded Strand, and then a foil Sorn. It was a God box. It was totally awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, the second box was Jack Crab. I only got, like, two fetches and a couple, you know, just a bunch of rares.
Jack Crab.
Well, I
thought I was the only one that ever used that expression.
Really? Oh, no. Yeah. Sometimes. But, like, and then the third box, I got more fetches. Overall, I got 9 fetches and 1 foil fetch between 3 boxes.
Oh.
Nice.
The weird thing is that between me and Garrett, out of the whole case, we only got 1 green-white fetch, which is really weird. I don't understand why, if it's just more rare, or just the rarity distribution was messed up or something. I don't know. But basically, we got 2 or 3 of each fetch between me and him.
Mm-hmm.
The mythics, we found out, they've reduced the mythics from 6 in a box to roughly about 4 to 5. And the mythics in the set aren't as good as we've covered before. It's just basically the 5 generals and some random cards other than the planeswalkers. But the one that's really good other than the generals is the imposter card, which is terrific.
It's actually dropping in price too, though.
Is that the clone guy?
Yeah.
He's dropping in price, though. He's only $9.50 now.
Okay.
Nice.
But I'm not even,
what? I just saw him. He was. Oh, never mind.
Clever imposter.
Yeah. We were talking about it. He's down $9.50.
I thought you were talking about the foil.
No. I'm not talking about foils. But you got the foil, though, which is cool.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'd have to say that the and then I opened up my Russian box, right? I only got 1 fetch out of that, and that really disappointed me. Like, out of the whole box, I got 1 fetch out of 36.
Can you pronounce the Russian names?
Yeah, hold on.
Oh, God.
I got it right here. Okay, so the red black fetch is a Klarava Top. So that's the Bloodstained Mire.
What the hell?
Yeah.
This is a random comment that was put on the FanZone St. Cloud website. We did this previous Saturday, we did a set of drafts. Like, we did pod drafts all day. This is a comment that was placed because at FanZone, when people do really good polls, we take pictures of them.
Yeah. You do selfies? Don't you do selfies?
No, we take pictures of it to advertise what people have pulled at the store.
Yeah.
This is a statement. This was a picture that was quoted, and I want you to tell me if this is a normal ad. Like, this would be a normal draft situation, because I think this is completely abnormal.
Okay.
Here is the comment. Tyler's holding a Sorin and a Sarkin Dragon Speaker. Okay. Tyler's the man. Pack one, pick one, took Sarkin in our first pod, and generously passed a foil Bloodstained Mire. Mm-hmm. Then pack one picked a Sorin in pod two. Good day for Tyler Pierce.
Okay.
This is my situation here. In a normal situation, if you weren't flooding fetch lands, would you generously pass a foil Bloodstained Mire?
Well, I would, in my own opinion, I would have kept the foil Bloodstained Mire past the Planeswalker. Now, as for mythics and drafting, now drafting is different because you don't know what's been pulled from that box yet and stuff like that. So it's like pull tabs. If anybody knows what pull tabs are, you have a controlled amount of tickets, and you have seen what's been pulled, so you know if you go for that what's in that box or not. Now, in draft situation, you don't know. I have actually gotten three mythics in one draft.
I've never seen anyone do that.
I did it.
That's a pretty good idea, though.
But no, what, the pull tab thing or what?
Yeah, I like that idea.
No, that's what I do. When I buy packs, I buy boxes so that I know what the entire outcome is from possibilities or whatever, like pull tabs is. That's why I don't buy individual packs ever.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so I know what I'm getting or see what the trends are and everything like that. So that's another reason why I buy boxes. But no, I've gotten three mythics in one. M14 was the red dragon that was a mythic. It was Chandra Pyromaster, and it was Archangel of Thune. I opened all three of those in one draft. And that is like God, of course, you know, God packs. But it's possible to get mythics, multiple mythics in a draft.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's what you're getting at or not, Nate. But but it's happened to me before. Very lucky, of course. But.
I mean, I've seen people get, the old school foil and then non-foil the same card.
That happens, too.
Yeah, that also happens. Yeah. I've even seen people get packs where the rare is missing, literally. And we give them another pack. Then they open up a bomb rare, and I get pissed off.
but nonetheless, what I saw is that either a box has a lot of fetches, or it doesn't have hardly any. Which reminds me of Return to Ravnica, when everybody wanted the shocks. They did flood. Yeah. I still think they're flooding the market. Okay, I do. I agree with Nate on that. But the thing is, if you really want fetches, and just the fetches out of the set,
just buy them.
Just buy the singles.
Take that money you would put into a box and just buy them.
Especially right now, because I looked on different sites, and Flooded Strand right now is $20. So is every other fetch. Now, these are, of course, the new ones. Polluted Delta is the only one that is $25. Now, if Nick would go on eBay for me and buy those three Flooded Strands, because Nick trusts eBay more than I do, I'd be happy. But,
Hey, and just, I'm looking at MTG stocks. Polluted Deltas are, the graph is going down.
Yeah. Real quick, Mike, send me the link through Skype of what that auction is so I can look at it just right now. Keep talking.
Yes, sir. I've been keeping my eye on the fetches for a long, long time. And they have consistently been going down and down and down. I think Polluted Delta is the only one that has stayed at, that's pretty cool, that has stayed at, the same price that it was pre-ordered. I think all fetches were pre-ordered at 25.
But here's my point. If you want to know, if you're collecting the whole set of anything, you can go on eBay and do commons on commons times four, right, for like $30. It's cheap as hell. And do it early because then later on, some commons and uncommons are worth a couple bucks each. So that's really cool. But if you want to have, like me when I was a kid and opening up packs for fun, and you want to see the whole pool of cards you get in a box, then get a box. But I'm saying if you're trying to get singles, and you're hoping that you're going to get a single, you buy them singly, right, either on eBay from your local card shop or trade from among friends, because that's just what you do. That's just the most economical way of doing it.
I personally think the only way to get cards, anyway, Magic Online is much different. The only way to get real cards in real life is either two ways. You either buy the singles, like we've been saying, or you buy a case. Buying boxes individually is not very good.
No, you basically, if you want the whole set and you want to have a crap ton of whatever you want, you get a case and you're guaranteed the set, pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
six boxes is definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
You might have a one or two miss, but you're still going to end up with most everything.
With my three boxes, I am only missing four mythics, and I have the whole set, basically.
Because, let's look at, we did at Fan Zone, we did a midnight opening. How many Sorens did we pull out of between store, you guys, and the other people that were opening boxes?
We opened the case, and then there was how many other, pretty much equivalent to another case, right?
I think.
Yep, we had, the store opened a case for singles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You and Garrett opened a case. Alex bought a box
and a fat pack.
And a fat pack. Mm-hmm. Two of our other buddies split a box, and we had one other guy buy a box. Mm-hmm. And out of all of that,
there's five Sorens.
Five Sorens.
Four of them regular. I think
the foil one doesn't count.
Yeah, it's an extra. So out of all those boxes, that was Soren. And that just screams rarity. Like, they upped.
But Sarkin was a lot.
Yeah, there was tons of Sarkins, but for some reason, Soren was super rare.
Yeah.
I think one of the people at my local store, one of the regulars, bought a box, and he got a foil Soren and a foil Bloodstained Mire in the same box.
Yeah. Well, I got a.
I can say with much certainty he was.
There's a picture.
He was very
Facebook.
Hated the rest of the night.
There's a picture on Facebook of Nick because he had some epic pulls, and he pulled a foil Soren and
a foil Flooded Strand, in the same box. So, you'll have God boxes. It'll happen.
I personally don't like foils. I hate foils.
I like them. But
I hate foils.
You can even get God fat packs. I've done that before.
Talking about you. But here's another thing. Here's another tip for this pack. Now, I don't advertise or like saying fat packs, get a fat pack or whatever. But I'm telling you what, we opened up a fat pack at the store. The store's fat pack. Four fetches were in that.
Yep.
My fat pack had two fetches in it. So I don't know. I haven't seen enough fat packs open. But I think that you almost have a better chance, which sounds weird, opening a fat pack to get fetches than a box. I don't know why.
With my fat pack, I didn't
what
get
I've
one
seen
fetch
so far.
Land.
Yeah.
I didn't get one fetch land out
you
of
didn't.
My fat pack.
Okay,
nope.
See, I got
I
two.
Got, I got the, I, like I said, I got the foiled Clever Impersonator out of mine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The foiled Mythic is pretty good.
I watched a stream of a person cracking a box, and their box sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the word sucks does not describe how bad the box was. He opened up a Flooded Strand, a Wooded Foothills, and a Sarkin. And that can happen to you a lot, which is why
you
I
can
say...
Have a bomb. You can have a bomb box.
Yeah, you can... Well, no, that's not really a bomb, but you can have a good...
A bomb.
What?
A bomb
oh,
box.
Oh, I said bomb, sorry. Bomb. You can have a bad box, you can have a really good box. But that's why you don't buy individual... Unless you're rich, I guess, you can buy individual boxes, but...
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that, and then the third option you have, before, and I've done this too, I did this in M15, if you don't like buying boxes, you don't like buying singles when they come out, here's the thing, you can prospect and gamble, and this is what I did with M15. I never pre-ordered anything, you know, like you can before a set releases. I basically got play sets of every rare for M15. And then I got one of each Mythic and then Planeswalker and all that good stuff. And then I only opened one box and stuff. And I got commons and commons times four. I got four or five Rabble Masters now. And I bought them for like $5. And now they're Goblin Rabble Masters worth like 12 each. So it's like, holy crap. Like, you can do it that way, too. You can also pre-order. Now, granted, you'll be delayed a week, because that's how I got mine a week later that I got off of eBay. But that's another way you can do it, too, is pre-order and speculate that way. You know?
Speculation is a very, very big way of, really making money in Magic. I mean,
yeah.
If I had bought Tarmogoyfs when they were 50 cents each, I'd be a lot less pissed off right now.
Well, no, I mean, but like I said, I don't usually speculate, but like I just tried the M15 because I really love that set. It was way better than this one, but nonetheless,
M15 was ridiculous.
M15 is so good, the core set.
I think it's the best core set they've ever put out.
The best core set they ever put out for playing wise is M11.
I
played M11. M15 is a heck of a lot more fun
M11
to draft.
M11 was like God's gift to corsets. Where's the picture that's freaking you out?
M10 through M15, I call them the modern, not modern as the format, but modern corsets as in the latest ones. I think M15 by far. I never played M10 through M12, but looking at the card pool, I've looked at it extensively.
M10 can be fun. It was a pretty skill-intensive format. M11 was really fun because for some reason no one ever went blue-white except for me when I drafted, and I just won every draft. M12 was horrible. I think the word horrible doesn't even describe how bad it was.
I guess when I drafted M11, I always went Rakdos and won. Because I would draft all of the aggro-intensive cards that everyone else
had. But that was the thing in M11. There was actual archetypes that you could draft that were really good. Not to mention, I was the guy that always got one Squadron Hawk during a draft. Always. Always got one Squadron Hawk. And then, I don't think I did M14 or M13. No, M13 I did a little bit, and I was very upset at it. And then M14 I did not do.
Yeah. But, like, as a whole, like, I guess when it comes to me, like, I'm not really a collector, but I like to play EDH. And I like to have for me in EDH, I have what is called a keeper book and a trade book. And it's a method that I started, and it kind of carried over to everyone else in our group kind of doing it now, too. I have a book of stuff that I'm either not going to use it yet, or stuff that I always use for EDH, and stuff that I might be thinking of building a deck, and I throw it in there. And that's a book that nobody sees. I don't trade out of that book. There's a very, very short list of people that are actually allowed to even look at the book and trade out of it. And then I have what I call my trade book, and that's separate into dollar rares and $2 and up. So I have all that separated and figured out. So that's what I do there. But for me, in that aspect, I don't like buying individual packs. I mean, from time to time, if I have a small purchase at a store, I know it costs extra because when you run a card, so I'll maybe throw a pack on there just to make it so that you're not screwing the store over. So I'll do that. But other than that, I'll get a box or a case. Most of the time, if it's a set I really like, I'll talk to my friend Dan, and we usually split a case. If it's just a box of a set that looks decent enough where it seems like it's risky enough, but I could gamble a little bit and get a box, I'll buy a box. And then if it's a set that I'm not really sure of at all, I'm lucky if I get a fat pack or even I'll just buy the singles. Like Theros was a big one for me. I think I traded or individually bought any of the cards I actually wanted out of that set. Other than when Theros first came out, I did go to FNM and draft like for 5 weeks. And then after that, I got bored with the board and like really didn't want to draft anymore. but for the most part, it was with Theros. I just bought the cards I wanted or traded to get them, and I was good because I didn't care about anything else.
Theros, I bought a box or two, I think, and I'm not going to get into Theros. I always say this on the show.
Yeah.
We'll just all agree that Theros block is not that good.
I think it had a whole bunch of, had the allure of being good, but then when you actually saw what it was all about, it was like, Yeah, I'm not really interested.
The thing is, the second and the third, okay, Born of the Gods is bad. So I only bought the EDH stuff, and I bought all one of each rare, one of each mythic, and then I got my collection and commons uncommon. Yeah. Does, you know, everybody wants the rares, everyone wants the mythics. I tell you what, though, there's so many times I'm building an EDH deck, and I need a common or uncommon, and if you get play sets of each common and uncommon for sets, which you can get dirt cheap, if you see a set symbol and you need a common or a common, you look at it and you're like, oh, I got it, and then you just go look for it, that's the coolest feeling in the world. Like, that's happened to me so many times, to have the common or commons times four for a set is worked out tremendously. I definitely suggest doing that.
A really good example of that, where the set's bad, but there's individual commons and uncommons that are really good, is, like, M15 was pretty good, but, like, a really good example of that is, well, for Theros, one of the ones I really look at is Rescue from the Underworld. Theros, as a whole, the set wasn't that good, but you had cards like Rescue the Underworld that are just awesome EDH cards. Card is super good in every way.
Mm-hmm.
5-drop sorcery, sack a creature, bring a creature from your graveyard back, and then you get to bring the creature you sacrificed back too.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty solid for a set that didn't spark much interest for me. And I went and bought a playset of that card just because it's that good. So that's what I look at with that.
Yeah. But to sum it up, if you're a collector, either get boxes or get the play sets, commons and commons times four, rarity, all that stuff, eBay.
Yeah.
And I'll just go into real quick thing about eBay. Beware of eBay. eBay is good, can be bad. Now, that's way better than Amazon. I don't trust Amazon at all. But eBay, they have, you know, the feedback and pictures and all this stuff. Yeah, Amazon. People go to Amazon to get stuff.
Yeah. Sketchy.
Yeah, that's sketchy. I've not had good experiences with Amazon. But eBay, you get pictures, you get feedback, and if they have 98% feedback with over 100 transactions under their belt, they're legit, pretty much. Make sure you're not getting a package from Brazil or some other foreign country. Check the location for sure. Because I've had that happen where I ordered a box of Conspiracy and didn't realize it was from Israel.
I remember that.
Yeah, but nonetheless, it came and it was fine.
Yeah. I mean,
or if you order from Canada, your package can get stuck in customs. I bought a Phyrexian Obliterator from Canada and got it 2 weeks later because I reported the guy trying to figure out why it wasn't here yet. And he went and got the feedback and did the legwork to figure out what happened to it. Apparently, when it hit U.S. Customs, they did the dog sniffing. My package was in a box where they found drugs.
How cute.
Well,
so, it got held.
Are you sure you're not telling us something, Nate?
No. I'm not telling you anything. It just, that's
exactly
what happened.
You don't want anything.
It was in, like, they have shipping crates that they put everything in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they put everything for one region in one shipping crate together. Mm-hmm. Well, at U.S. Customs, they bring the dogs in to sniff. If the dog wigs out lets the customs people know that there's something funny in that one, everything that's in that shipping container is held until everything is looked through.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I've just gotten lucky. I mean, I bought a Enlightened Tutor online. It was just about ready to be sold.
Oh, yeah, tell this story. This is good. This is good.
Okay. I just saw the picture. I went, buy it now. Then I looked at the text, and it's like, you are buying a Worldly Tutor as picture shown. Like, oh, crap. So, you know, it's like, I just paid $5 for a Worldly Tutor, and you can get them on eBay cheaper than $5. I'm like, oh, man. Here to go and look further into the description. This is a Worldly Tutor you are bidding on as picture shown. So I'm like, okay, there might be a long shot here. And I look, and it's from Mexico. So I'm sitting there like, maybe he doesn't know English very well.
But anyway, nonetheless, yeah. So, that was my take on this set. So I'm saying if you want the singles, buy the singles.
Yeah.
If you want to collect, get boxes, go on eBay, stuff like that. But that's pretty much what I do for each set. And if I, depending on if I really like the set or not, I get tons of stuff. Otherwise,
yep.
Just the singles, you know.
If it's a popular set, you might want to get a lot of it because that gives you extra trade bait. And, like, for me, there's older cards I want to get for EDH that I couldn't normally get. You get the new stuff, and then you put it in your trade book, and then purposely go to a few events to trade with people, and then you usually end up getting all the old stuff you want because they're all excited about the new stuff.
Yeah, and then the best time to trade is at the beginning of the set because a lot of the prices crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah.
So. See, that's the thing. I personally don't like buying cards, like, early, especially when fetch lands are possibly being flooded and are only rares. And so it's possible that they could go down to, like, $15 a piece, and I don't know it.
I think that's where they're going to flatten out. They're going to flatten out between 12 and 15.
Yeah.
That's my guess, too. I'm gonna put it out there on the line, and I'm about 99.9% sure that's what's gonna happen.
See, I pre-ordered Nissa, the new Planeswalker at M15 at $20, and it went to $40. So I'm just lucky, you know.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, but it's a Planeswalker. It's prospecting, you know, and if you want to play that game, that's fine too.
Yeah, but it's tough to do, but if you do it right, and you know what the standard set already contains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you're banking off standard, and what you're going to have to do is if you're banking off the standard stuff, once you get it, you're going to want to think about selling it.
Yeah, and there's another website you can access called mtgstocks.com. I recommend that if anyone is cautious about how much you're paying for cards, you pay attention to it. It's a site that gives you, there's every card in Magic, and they'll give you a lineup of a graph saying what's going up, what's going down, and they have a ticker, a constant ticker on top that's giving you up, like, minute, like, second-to-second update, like the stock market, giving you, like, a plus. Like, for instance here, Coat of Arms, 685, plus 3%.
MTG Card Stock?
MTGStocks.com.
Yeah, it'll actually show you the progression of what the price of the card has done and stuff like that.
Look at Tarmogoyf.
Because right now, like, looking at Fleece Mane Lion, because they're sitting there saying Fleece Mane Lion is going to be the new junk card in standard.
Tarmogoyf has only risen in price.
Huh?
Tarmogoyf has only risen in
price. Yeah.
It's never gone down.
Yeah. But it just, but they have everything up, like Goblin Rabble Master, $15, 7.4%. This is a really good site. At Fanzone, we use this site.
It's pretty good. I never used this.
It's really, really good site. Who was it? I think Chatton came across it by accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a really good site.
Yeah, I've been, ever since Chatton told me about it, I've been using it. I've been able to, like, kind of predict what cards are going to do.
Yeah, I'm looking at Metalworker. Oh my god, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, did it shoot up?
It went straight up.
It
went up like 300% in one day.
It's like it went into a rocket, and it's not ever coming back.
Same with the rack. Why is the rack up like that?
It's modern.
Yeah, they've been fighting trying to make the rack a modern card, and somebody's finally made a deck that can actually work in modern with the rack.
It's a really, really cheap deck in modern.
It's like $10 now?
Mono black, it's
a
mono black discard deck.
Sweet!
It's a mono black discard deck. That's all it is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I would, for one, like to say I hope that everyone who plays Smallpox quits Magic soon. No offense to anyone. No. No offense. I mean much offense. I mean, no offense.
Everybody get your calculators out. That's what Garrett says for that.
Oh,
joke.
I hate pox. No, smallpox is hateful,
for pox, I mean. Yeah.
But pox is just like a third
pox is fun. I love watching people take their calculators out to figure that out.
Yeah. Pox, yeah.
Well, metal workers shut up. The highest it is almost 40, the lowest is 20.
Well, that's like with Rattle Claw. That's like with Rattle Claw Mystic right now. I bought a playset for $12. Right now they're at like almost $7.
How do I look at certain editions, Nate? Oh, here we go. Never mind. I got it.
Ooh, all right. Card.
Yeah. We should move on though.
Yes. What? Go for it, Nate.
All right. Next. All right. I am popular to the people. We used to do a thing called Brew of the Month. Decided that
we love
maybe,
you, Peter.
Yeah, we should bring it. We should have him on one of these days. We're gonna do an October brew. We're looking, and if there's any popular people listeners out there that know exactly what I'm talking about right now, instead of colors, we're looking for though somebody to give us a general, a legendary creature that we can build around, and we're gonna do a live deck building. On the next few episodes.
Now,
or so.
Since it is October, for any fans out there who love drinking, yes, we are, well, at least me, I'm looking for to do a theme of Oktoberfest, if it's possible.
Yeah, so the decks out there, just if you have a general you want us to build, kind of bring it, let us know, and we will decide on one, and we will do a live deck building on the air.
Does this site show where what people are selling them? Or just what?
What the prices are for them right now.
What?
I don't know.
I'm going to Red Door Games right now.
But yeah,
$10 a piece. I'm going to there right now.
But yeah, so this is the brew. So yeah, just give us feedback. Let us know if there's a general you want to see built, something obscure. Actually, if anyone has an obscure one, I almost prefer that over a regular popular one. I love building obscure generals.
Oh, yeah. Obscure generals is the best.
Oh, I love obscure generals.
So, yeah, so just put it out there. If you have an idea or if you have something you want to see, just let us know. It's going to be a live deck building. We're actually going to build the deck on the air when we record. So it's going to be fun. We did them in the past on Popper to the People. It's been a lot of fun. And we'll just use Nick's pool to build the deck. I'm just nominating
Nick's
pool right now.
What?
Exactly.
I'm just nominating your pool right now.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, thanks. Rich boy. I'm not. Oh, shut up. I just like the game. Leave me alone.
No. You like legends.
Yeah.
That's what you like.
I have.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I have not. Okay, I've not kept track of how many legendary creatures I have.
Oh, my God.
Lately, but I'm pretty sure
I
missed.
What? I meant the set.
Oh, no, I know what you meant.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Hey, this is my favorite. I just can't. I can't explain it. It's a fetish. I'm not the only one. Dan likes Legends the best too. So
yeah.
Dan DeMars, great guy. Nonetheless, I think I'm missing. Oh, probably about 30 or 40 Legends out of the entire Magic set. Out of all the Magic.
Yeah, all of them.
Mm-hmm. So because I got it from a cube, you know. And every set that's come out since I've made the cube, I've gotten every legend since then, so I've been caught up. So you just nominate my card pool. That's funny. I take that as a compliment, I guess. hey Nick, we're gonna have a brew. We're gonna use your card.
I would like to say, in case I just made this up on the fly because it's probably a good thing to say. Hmm. In case we get 20 different generals. We're going to, between the four of us, vote on which ones we like the best, the top five, and then we'll just pick Mev ahead or something, which one wins.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter.
To be fair.
It doesn't matter to be honest.
I don't want to, be selective and be a jerk about it.
Sure, yeah, I don't like that card, so I'm going to use this. Yeah, I understand. Totally.
Unless somebody sends in the Nephilims, I'm not doing that. Not doing it.
No, Nephilims are not going
to I'm not doing
Nephilims,
I'm sorry.
No, it's...
It has to be legendary.
We're doing
what is legal. Yeah, we would also prefer I prefer three or five color, just because I'm really used to building those types of decks.
Yeah, I like three. One, three, or five.
Yeah, one is also okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see what people decide to nominate.
So are we, like, okay, so if we do the Brew of the Month or whatever, we devote the whole show to the Brew of the Month?
We're not going
to
do it every month. We're just going to...
So, like, I guess we could do it for Christmas time, too, or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is our first one. We're just going to do it. So, yeah, just send that in. Send that in, and we'll decide on one. But that's all I really wanted to say about that. Mike.
What?
How about that metagame?
Lay it on us.
I don't know if I want to talk about it.
Do it. No, we got to do it. It's cute. Come on.
Ah, crap. Okay, so last week I talked about how... I'm trying not to make this go long. But, okay, so I hate the card Contamination, like I said last week. For most of you who don't know what that is, it is 2 and a black from Urza's Saga. And it says, beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature or sacrifice Contamination. And it basically makes every land, not basic, every land in play tap for black. And I tried building a Enchantress deck for EDH. And unfortunately, I could never get it to work. And I lost with it 3 weeks in a row, single-handedly to the card Contamination. I lost twice to Robin 88, and then I lost to, I forgot his name. I think it was Sekhor, but I forgot. Also playing a mono-black deck playing Contamination. So, needless to say, I went off the deep end, because, I was tired of losing to a single card that otherwise I would have beat them. And I decided, alright, it's back to the original plan of playing Mono Blue, since Mono Blue seems to be the only thing that I'm allowed to win with. So I was talking to Gordani, and I said, as a joke, you know what, I'm going to take every single... I'm going to take every mono blue general and just run it into the ground until no one can play blue anymore. Then Gordani said, so you're going to take every blue general? I'm like, wait a minute. There's nothing in the rules I can't do that. I could take every general, every legendary creature with the color blue in its symbol and just play mono blue forever, which means I can take Child of Alara. I can take Edric, I can take Sliver Queen, I can take Una, I can take anyone I want and run them into the ground. Because, as everyone knows, there's a rule in Kumagoro Sunday Commander event where if the general wins 5 times, you can't use it anymore, that's it, it's done. And now, there's a new championship where, I forget when it's happening, I think it's happening like a few weeks into January, he's going to pick, I think, the top 16 or top some number of players, and they're going to have a players championship. Mm-hmm. And I want to qualify for that because I won 3 weeks in a row and then got screwed over by just cancel stupid combo deck. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't hate any of these people. I'm just salty about it.
It's okay to be salty. I get salty too.
My sodium levels. I was just eating pretzels a few hours ago. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so. So 2 weeks ago I built the deck. I basically took my Azami deck, which Azami is left at 4 wins, because just canceled one with it a long time ago. I won 3 weeks in a row with Azami, so she's at 4. I'm waiting to use her one last time as a special time. So I was going to switch to Arcanus. Then the Enchantress thing happened. So I chose Sliver Queen, since I don't actually... own Child of Alara in my collection, and I was like, you know what? We got Sliver Queen from the Players' Championship. Not Players' Championship, the Community Cup or whatever the hell it was. So I decided to use it. And the last 2 weeks, Time Spiral has screwed me over. Cast Time Spiral, lose the game. That is what has been going on. So last week, you know, I said that I wanted to play Classic Heirloom, and... you know, so after I cast Time Spiral and it screwed me over again, I dropped. And someone, I forgot who it was, said to me, why you just folded. And it kind of ticked me off, not going to lie. And so, like I said on the show, if you want me to win, I'll just go ahead and win. It's okay with me. Well, I did what I said I was going to do, and I crushed this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, Gordon got second, actually. Gordani got second. So what happened was there's a new rule where we either have, I think it's 9 players, and then you play for full prize, including Kumagoro. And then if we only have 6 players, we play for half the prize. I don't really know how that works. This is also including Kumagoro. So this week we only had 6 players. So what happened was I ended up playing against Miha, I don't know how to say his damn name, and the Errand. So Miha is on Cranko again, and the Errand is on the 7-7 guy for 4 that hits somebody at random. I don't know his name. Is it Ruhan?
What was it again?
The American 7-7 guy that hits a guy at random?
Yeah. You attack with him, and it's random, yeah.
Yeah.
For 4. Yeah, he's cast for 4, one of each.
He's
color.
Bad.
Yeah, he's not that good.
He's bad.
He's okay.
No, he's not.
Oh, it's right. It's America. Never mind.
It's America. It sucks. It's not good. It's just bad. It's not narcissistic.
Sorry, Alex.
I'm staying neutral on this one. Anyway,
yeah.
So I'm not going to go into too much detail. Basically, what happened was I had a good hand, and Aaron is basically, he's not playing a combo deck. He's just playing, like, a control deck. And obviously, Miha is on Goblins, so, you know, that's all he really does. But he's damn good at it. So Miha's whooping our asses with Cranko. And at some point, he had Goblin Sharpshooter out with Cranko going, and he had, like, 19 Goblins. It was ridiculous. So suddenly, I'm sitting with no cards in my hand. I drew a Soul Ring. All of a sudden, Aaron draws, like, 3 cards off of Aaron goes Time Twister. And I'm like, okay, I'll take that. Then Aaron goes Supreme Verdict after me complaining to myself that he's a blue-white deck and red deck with no Wrath of God effect. So then Miha hits me for 19 and puts me to 9, because, I mean, he's a good player. He knows that I'm the bigger threat at this moment. So Aaron's tapped out. I don't know if he plays Force of Will or Pact of Negation or anything. I assume he does. I'm not really looking at his list at the moment. But so basically I just comboed off after he went Time Twister. So and the turn I lived, so unfortunately, the Aaron helped me win the game, which is why I personally don't like playing Time Twister-like effects. Like, the reason I like playing Time Spiral is because you untap 6 lands, so it's a combo card. But I don't like playing Time Reversal, and I don't like playing Time Twister in a deck where you don't have Time Walks. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would have to agree, although you can make a deck theme. Well, okay, Nukuzar Grixis is the one that benefits from that the most, from not having the 6 tapped on lands.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. I said on lands, that's funny. but Nukuzar, draw as many cards, you have every draw spell in the game. That's when you want to have every one of those spells in there. But if you don't have the Time Walk combo and you can't untap lands already by other means, yeah, I can see how that can screw you over. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're are decks where, obviously, like, Wheel of Fortune is amazing, or, like, Molten Psyche.
Goblins. It's like there's no card drawing in red, so Wheel of Fortune is awesome.
Yeah, so like Wheel of Fortune's awesome.
You empty out your hand anyway, so it doesn't matter. So you get 7 cards and you screw other people over. It's great.
Well, yeah. That's the combo I've been seeing lately since Waste Knot's been in. It's Rakdos, and the first thing they do when Waste Knot comes into play is they Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah,
that is brutal.
Waste Knot is Gordani's favorite card.
Waste Knot is such a versatile card. I've not used it yet, but it just screams combo.
Waste Knot is pretty insane.
I have 2 of them now. I ended up pulling it out of my Endrick deck because it just wasn't performing well.
Well, it's too unpredictable, especially if you...
Yeah, it's too unpredictable. You really need to dedicate to a discard.
Yeah, which is fine.
I am going to save it, though, because my ultimate dream for EDH for Grix is to build my Gwendolyn DeCourcy.
You
can't build
Escort. You're
here if
you can. I don't know how...
It's an Escort General. That could be...
Okay.
Escort people to places.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think we created enough work for Nick already. Let's not create more.
Yeah, it's a general from Legends that's like 25 to 30 bucks.
Oh, God,
bucks
it's a legendary escort.
And basically, she's straight up
it's the
gift
best
card.
In the business.
It is.
I think I'm just going to hold off Waste Not for that deck because I think it'll be better than that deck.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, Nate.
It is a fairly good idea. I look forward to hearing about that list.
Hey, this is my general, Nick. You leave it alone.
That's fine.
Yeah, you Portal Three Kingdoms guy.
Newsflash about that. So I talked to Nate about that, and I was going to make a 5-color and have all the horsemanship creatures, but I'm really missing Alora. I know. I've done it twice where I've taken it apart. I want a control deck, but at the same time, I want to have P3K, and I want it now. Now what's going to be is Alora Soldier Tribal with P3K control. So, nice. Which the best soldiers or best horsemanship creatures are Esper anyway. So I'm changing it over to that. So I'll have that ready by whatever. Plus the lands I use in there, I can use to make Bant Angus McKenzie. You know,
I love that name, Angus
McKenzie.
Yeah,
I love that name. Sounds like a frontman for a Metal Gear.
Well, it sounds like
that is what it sounds like.
No, it sounds like freaking Angus Young from AC/DC. There you go.
Yeah, a front runner for a metal group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, AC/DC can be considered a metal group.
Well, used to be. Still
yeah, now they're just loud. Anyway, I like AC/DC.
No, you can't knock AC/DC. You can't. Man.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to this metagame.
So.
Thanks, Nate.
So now Mind Over Matter is going to be banned after the 100th tournament. I'm the sole reason for this.
It's banned in your tournament?
It's going to be banned in our tournament after the 100th tournament happens. Then rotation will happen, and bans will start to happen. I am the sole reason for Mind Over Matter officially looking forward to a ban in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I don't think it's a particularly powerful card unless I match it with another one, but fair enough that it's Kuma's tournament, not mine. And I'm pretty proud of it. I asked him to give me a trophy for it. I expect one. So I won with the good old... In that one... Oh, what happened was, the turn before he cast Time Twister, I was talking to Gordon, and I told him, if I draw one of, like, 10 cards, I just win on the spot. I drew Planar Portal. I needed to live one more turn. I needed Aaron to go Wrath of God. Now, the funny thing is, if Aaron didn't go Wrath of God, then Miha would have won. He would have had enough creatures to not only kill me, but to also take out Aaron using the Sharpshooter combo. Because now, for what people might not know, Goblin Sharpshooter is a...
awesome card.
Besides that, from Onslaught, he's a 1/2 for 2 mana? Or is it 3 mana? I don't remember. It's one of the two. And it says, tap, deal a damage to our creature or player, and whenever a goblin enters the graveyard from the battlefield, untap it. So with Skirt Prospector or any sac outlet, even with tokens, because tokens hit the graveyard before they get removed, you untap them. So when you have an army of like 50 tokens on the table, you're getting 50 shots.
Yeah, you just kill everything with Death Touch. It's cute.
Yeah. So if Aaron didn't go Wrath of God, I would have died and I wouldn't have won. So I won with the good old Mind Over Matter Temple Bell combo, as I like to call the well-oiled machine. And I was really pissed off at how much clicking I had to do after that.
No, oh, I'm sure your pointer finger kind of my
hand started to cramp after that, actually. And then Gordon is on Kresh combo. He's on Oops, I Win with Kresh. And he beat his opponents pretty badly. He faced off against a blue... I'll talk about the other guy in a minute, but he faced off against a blue-green guy. I'm not sure what he was playing at all, actually. What was he playing? But he was playing Voril. So I think what happened was the two guys that Gordon faced off against were, no offense to them, I think compared to the card pool that Gordon and I are able to work with, they were a little out of their league, so to speak.
Sure.
You know, I can't do anything without sounding like one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's fine.
It actually hurts my feelings because...
You're not like that person. I know you weren't. That's fine.
So he beat them. Although he had a pretty tough time beating the blue-green guy, because the blue-green guy, his deck was pretty good. So what happened was there was just the two of us, and we're not allowed to do heads-up for the finals. We're not allowed to do that.
What's heads-up?
One-on-one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We're not allowed to do that. Per Kumagoro and the sponsor's rules, we're not allowed to do that. So a random got to go into the final table, which ended up being Marcus Kane, who was the other person at Gordon's table, and he was playing with... Whoops, that was not the right thing. He was playing Naya, and his general was the first ever promo on Magic Online. Nate knows what I'm talking about. It was...
Yep.
Hazazon Tamar, which is Nate's general for his Lands EDH deck.
Yeah, well, not anymore. Johan is no longer the general.
Ah, got it. I gotta say, no offense to Marcus if he's ever listening to this, and I hope that he comes back. He was way out of his league against Gordon and myself. He was way out of his league. He is a very, very big budgeted, does not look like he's been playing Magic Online for very long, type of deck.
Oh, he jumped into the water with the big fish.
Yeah,
right away.
He jumped into the water with not planning to swim for very long, unfortunately. Now I'm not trying to say he didn't give it his effort. I'm just saying, you know, maybe he doesn't have a very big collection online, and he was testing the waters to see what kind of decks we were playing.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in the finals. So I kind of just had a god start, and I ended up winning with a new combo in my deck that was inspired by Golden Lin, which was Enter the Infinite. Now, what Enter the Infinite does is it's 12 mana. It's 8 and quad blue,
mm-hmm.
and you draw your whole deck, and then you put one card back. So you play Laboratory Maniac, you play the Brainstorm, and you win the game. So I won this week. And the name of my deck is literally No One Told Me I Couldn't Do This, and I'm pretty proud of myself. And I plan on doing it again.
Yeah, and I think your general choice actually wasn't a bad one, even though you didn't have a Child of Alara.
It's the best five-color general, pretty much.
It's a five-color general, yes.
The thing is, I can actually cast him with Chromatic Lantern.
Yes, can actually cast him, but on top of that, if you're going to play a five-color general... It's not a bad general to play because at least you get one chunk.
Yeah, my deck can make a ton of mana to make a ton of tokens too.
You can make a bunch of tokens with Sliver Queen.
Yeah.
So it actually isn't that bad.
Now, don't get me wrong, all listeners, I don't plan on doing this for a long time. I just I like winning.
Winning.
Well, so does everybody else.
But also, a little side note with the whole metagame thing. I've been paying attention to the forums, and let me tell you, Zergo deck lists are popping up everywhere. Holy moly.
What is Zergo? Again, I'm sorry.
Zergo's the Borzov general from Khan. Sad
7-2 haste can be instructable on your
stacks of
returns.
I saw people play that guy at pre-release. That guy is insane.
Yep.
I'm looking at him like, you're a 7-2. You just die. You have indestructibility.
We were at the store the day.
Leroy Jenkins, Freddie Hearthstone.
I know we're going a bit farther on metagame, but we have time to we have time to record.
Yeah, three cheers for time. Woo!
We're doing really good on time. The thing is, and I know we've talked about this, but to really point out everything Zergo can do is a lot. He can be played, like, remember back when we talked about the whole complexity thing about cards being complex and stuff? Zergo was built perfectly to that New World Order design. We're talking about, for EDH, we're talking about a general that can do any tribal in those colors effectively and awesome.
and give all the... Because here's the thing. The humans... Let's look at all the tribal... Let's just quickly name off every single tribal thing Zurgo can be. In red, he can be goblins. In white, he can be soldiers or knights. In black, he can be zombies, vampires. I think, and I'm sure there's another one he could be. But here's the thing about those decks. Without Zurgo, those tribal decks are missing something that makes the deck go a step further.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at Goblins. Goblins is really, really good, but Goblins tribal has a huge problem with enchantments. Huge problem with all that stuff. You can splash white to take care of enchantments with Zurgo. It's really, really easy to do.
See, white, he's got white in his cost, so that means that you can have the control and answers. Red,
yeah,
black,
you can have
red
control and answers.
Red, black, the only problem with red, black, Rakdos is that it doesn't have answers. You put white in the mix, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's every single one of them, where they fall short, they get the suitable answers the tribe needs to take on that problem. Mm-hmm. And that's just tribal you're covering. You're not even going into the amount of attrition control that you can play with that general. He is really, really open-ended. I would recommend that any player that wants to try something new, just start testing with Zurgo. You'll find out he goes a lot of ways.
Word.
It's really, really cool.
Word.
I'll just agree with you for the sake of agreeing.
you don't agree, Alex, or no?
Well, you know what, I haven't seen any generals with the colors of America.
We have one.
Yeah.
And Alex is going to knock it out of the park.
Alex, I want to see the deck succeed. I really do. I want to see it succeed.
Alex, listen. You have to do this. Now, I know you had a top five made out, but I think this week you need to redeem America. I think this week needs to be the top five American cards. I think you need to just Google right now.
Next week he'll do it. But speaking of top five, what do we got for Rakdos, Alex?
All right. Top five Rakdos. Number five, Havoc Festival. One red, one black, four other enchantments.
Wound Reflection breaks that card.
Yep. Players can't gain life. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player loses half his or her life, rounded up. I think it's just the fastest way to speed up a game. If you are, even if you're losing, you could win it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be at, 20, but pretty soon, once you play it, the next turn your opponent is going to be at 20 or close to it.
Yeah, and if you have Wound Reflection, then, they're getting less than you are, so...
Mm-hmm.
They have less life than you are, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my number four, I personally like because it's just graveyard shenanigans. Cauldron Dance.
That card's awesome.
One black, one red, four other. Play Cauldron Dance only during combat. First part is return target creature from your graveyard. That creature gains haste and return it to your hand at the end of turn. The second part is put creature card from your hand into play. That creature gains haste, put it into the graveyard. It's a two creature combo, but you're bouncing one from the graveyard to your hand and one into play into your graveyard. It's a very interesting combo, especially if you're playing a lot of Eldrazi.
I like it.
I don't know why I picked this one, but it's personally my favorite because it does two things. Rakdos Return. One red, one black, X.
Yeah.
Rakdos Return deals X damage to target opponent. That opponent discards X cards.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the slow middle finger. even if they don't have cards in their hands, you're dealing damage. If they can prevent the damage, you're going to make them discard cards.
No, it's a good card.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It is an all-around solid card. My number two...
Oh, I hate this one.
...is probably the best Rakdos general ever designed. Olivia.
And she's hate bait.
Yeah, and she's definitely hate bait, but if you can figure out a way to protect her...
Yeah.
That's Olivia Voldaren. She comes out on one red, one black, two other. She's a 3/3 flyer. Tap one red, one other. She deals one damage to another target creature. That creature becomes a vampire in addition to its other types. Put a +1/+1 counter on Olivia. Then you can tap two black, three other. Gain control of target vampire for as long as you control Olivia. Rakdos control.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah,
I almost want to say that she is the Rakdos general. I don't think there's anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I looked around. There's nothing really other than her. For what she does, she's just all around solid. I mean, you can pump her. Her abilities are not tap abilities, so you can do it multiple amount of times. You could have six red mana floating around and give her +3/+3 in one turn.
Yeah.
And then, my number one, Dreadbore.
Dreadbore.
That's definitely one of the best black-red cards.
Yeah, it
yes,
is.
By far, and it's cheap as
even
heck.
At sorcery speed.
Yeah, it's a slow card. It's only a sorcery, but it comes out on one black, one red. Destroy creature or planeswalker.
Yeah, it's damn good. It's one of the few answers Rakdos has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than Fireball or something.
Yeah. I just like the fact, I always like those cards that are dual purpose.
I want to put honorable mention down for Terminate.
Terminate, yes. Terminate's another nice card.
That's
but
really good one. That's really good one.
Yeah.
And Wrecking Ball.
What does Wrecking Ball do again?
Just pay 4 mana, 1 black, 1 red, 2 others, destroy a creature or a land.
Shoutouts to Miley Cyrus.
Yep.
Yes.
Wrecking Ball.
She's now.
But. All these cards that I've listed off are under $5. It's honestly, this was easier than doing the Demir block, trying to figure out what good Demir cards there were.
A good Demir, honestly, I've tried playing Demir before. If you want to play a good Demir deck that's consistently good all the time, you're looking at spending in the high sums of probably... I want to say $400 to $600 just to pull off a decent, like to have the best of the best Demir.
Yeah, and most of the time if you're playing Demir, you're going to be playing Reanimator.
Yeah, it's...
Or
it's
Mill.
Really,
Mill is other...
It's not like an impossible EDH deck to build. It's just really, really expensive.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at budget... Don't look at Demir.
And when I say $400 to $600, that's non-foils. That's not including foils.
Yeah. So, and Rakdos, I would say, is probably the cheapest color combination out there.
Yeah, it's hard to play. It's really, really hard to play.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would even go on a limb and say that. It takes a specialist type of person to play that.
Yeah. And
I found out that I'm not that person.
I'm thinking about getting a bunch of the black X spell discards and running Waste Knot and and getting a Wheel of Fortune and
running Waste Knot, yeah.
Yeah, and just focusing around Waste Knot and a few other cards that deal with when players discard cards like Megrim.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Make sure you get the pretty Megrim, though. The original looks way better.
Yeah.
There's one that looks like Britney Spears is trying to, like, take control of someone. Like, Liliana looks like when Britney Spears went bad.
You mean with the shaved head?
Next to Sark and Liliana is my favorite Planeswalker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder why.
I would not know why at all.
Elspeth is my favorite planeswalker. My tokens whoop the...
I'm just glad she's dead. Makes games easier now.
Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa.
Who's dead?
She will come back to life.
Wait, who's dead?
Elspeth.
In the storyline, Elspeth is dead.
Yeah.
Son of a...
If you notice on the card art, Ajani is wearing Elspeth's cape.
That son of a...
And I forget who gets...
you know why that is? You know why that is? Spear. Because Ajani has no good planeswalkers where Elspeth is awesome.
Well, I think the storyline is somebody killed her.
I don't care what the story is. I don't play Magic for the story.
Yeah. I think it's one of like the gods themselves.
I added to the problem.
But just to follow to the storyline just a little bit, the way it sounds like, you can quote me on it, but the way it sounds like, Nicol Bolas is going to be in the set, and his brother Ugin.
Yeah, that's the next set. Like, me and Chatton, my boss Chatton and I have talked about this. I think we're going to see an influx of a lot of colorless cards in the next set.
Oh, yeah, because that one card says something about colorless. Yeah, there's two of them. So I'm pretty sure that that's just a segue to colorless creatures.
I believe Ugin is...
Thinking about it, it'd be pretty interesting to go from a wedge-based set to a colorless-based set to a allied-colored-based set.
Tell you what, though, I don't want to see the colorless as Eldrazi.
But what happens when we go to a allied-based set?
I don't know.
Looks like we could get the wedge fetch lands back.
Well, let's put it this way.
It'd be a good theme!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Two sets of this set will stay in the...
When the last core set gets printed, we need to cue the Celine Dion theme from Titanic.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Or how about, I will remember.
Oh, I was thinking about the famous Vine thing.
Just a tribute song.
Yeah. In the arms of the
angel.
Have a bunch of puppies around it.
Yeah. Damn it, Jim, what the hell's the matter with you?
If that's it, we should probably just end this show.
Yes,
we don't have
exactly.
Any shout-outs or email. How can they get a hold of you, Nick?
They can get a hold of me at CommandersHQ2@gmail.com and also on the Facebook CommandersHQ.
How can they get a hold of you, Alex?
Hardlock79@yahoo.com or CommandersHQ@Facebook.
Okay. Mike, nothing?
Or they get a hold of you, Nate. That's how they get a hold of you.
Okay. If you got a message for me or Mike, you can contact me on Twitter @NathanYunkin, and UConn@Outlook.com, or CommandersHQ2.
You can still use Twitter?
Yeah. I just posted our show up on it.
Oh, cool.
That's how you can get a hold of me. But, until next week, I'm Nate.
Nick.
I'm Alex.
Mike.
This is Commander HQ.
That's the fact, Jack!